So we're in quite an experience, as Sean has set us up so well. We spoke about fighting anger in week one, and I hope some of you, in those moments of getting really angry, you're just pushing the pause button and saying, hold on, step back. Look at this thing from different sides. Do I need to punch this teacher in the face? What's my future going to be like? You know, what's jail going to be like? How hard are the beds in jail? And should I really be doing that, or should I pause and just think twice? We were really challenged, I think, in the peer pressure session by Sean to say, you know, follow pressure, godly pressure, pressure that lines up with my identity and who I am in Christ. And I mean, I think that blew us all away, actually. And I trust that that's kind of like yielding fruit. Tabile was quite direct with us, wasn't she, last week? If don't be a bully. Don't let bullying happen. You know, if there's bullying happening, I don't do anything. I might as well just stand in and punch the kid in the face as well with the bully, because I'm a bully if I'm not doing anything. And it was really, really powerful. And we head into today to something that none of us deal with, but I'm going to teach on it anyway. You know, none of us struggle with anxiety. Our lives are just so laid back and cool. Adolescence is so, ooh, so chilled. Everything's cool, just floating on the Vol Dam. There's never storms. It's just, look at me, I'm just so cool. I love this. My life's lovely. Or it sucks really bad, and you're like, how am I going to get through all of this? I wonder what superhero we should refer to today when it comes to anxiety. Shucks, maybe I should have thought about this and prepared this before. It's a bit embarrassing that I haven't done the homework, you know what I mean? Like, I need some pictures, and can someone Google quick after Friday night? Here's a hint, maybe, where we might go today. The dude with the shield might be your favorite guy in all the world. That was quite a cool movie. That's a really cool face in the background, don't you think? And that was an even better movie, maybe. Maybe some of us haven't seen it. If you haven't, dim the lights and let's take a ride. Now that's movie making at its best. Superheroes and anxiety, I don't think so. These are superheroes. Surely they don't deal with anxiety. Well, the actor, Chris Evans, does. I remember reading this a week ago. Captain America, Chris Evans, I struggle with anxiety. He says he's made like 90 films, but he's only proud of three. I think it's 30 films, but he's only proud of three. That's not a great record, is it? It's like, I do a lot of work, and I'm stressful, and I find myself lying on the couch with my therapist more often than not, because this is really hectic. He goes on to the Ellen show, and she says, I've noticed that your anxiety disorder seems recovered. How did you overcome it? And he says, it's still there. I've learned to face my fears a little bit more. You can miss out on so much if you let fear rule your life. What's going on? This is Captain America. Throw your shield at the problem, dude. But even as Captain America, there's incredible enemies. I don't know, if this guy's coming at you, I'd be a bit anxious. You know? He may be the guy from Matrix, but when he pulls that like skin off his face, he's like, he's scary, you know? And maybe you think like, that new guy's handsome, the new bad guy, Bucky, what? Well, have a look at this.
He's fast. Strong. A metal arm.
One of the best Captain America stories in the comics over the past probably 20 years is a storyline called The Winter Soldier by Ed Brubaker. The Winter Soldier is a deadly assassin. His identity is sort of masked, and literally masked in this film. His reputation goes back many, many, many years.
When you look at Cap's gallery, there's plenty of villains to pick from. The one with the biggest emotional impact is going to be the Winter Soldier.
In the film, we reveal who that Winter Soldier is, and it's one of the best reveals in the comics of all time, and it is Bucky Barnes.
Bucky Barnes was one of my Howling Commandos during World War II. He's the one guy who actually didn't make it back. Steve Rogers has lost everyone, so that unexpected link, it's a big deal to Steve.
They really revived him to be this assassin and use him as a weapon to target Steve Rogers.
Whoever he used to be, and the guy he is now, I don't think he's the kind you save. He's the kind you stop.
I don't know if I can do that.
So you get this really juicy stuff once Cap realizes who this guy is of, can I fight my best friend or do I try to save him?
Can you sense that anxiety in good old Captain's voice as he speaks about it? This guy was my mate and I have to fight him. Potentially I need to kill him and get rid of it. You can just feel that anxiety welling up. I need to save the world. And yes, I've got this really fancy round flinging thing that can really knock people's heads off, but it's not so easy. I wonder if you've ever experienced this little guy that I'm going to introduce you to now has had his share of anxiety.
So, my name is Jacob. My mom calls me a worrywart, and I guess it's true. I mean, I do worry. A lot. About everything. Mostly I get stressed out about screwing up at school. Whenever I have a test, I'm sure I'm going to fail. The worst is when I have to do a presentation. I can't sleep the night before because I'm so freaked out that I'll mess up and get a bad grade. And if I don't keep my grades up, there's no way I'll get into a good university. And I always have this feeling that something bad is going to happen to me, or my mom or dad. Like, we'll be in a car accident, or there'll be an earthquake. Lately, I've been worried about someone breaking into our house when we're sleeping. I can't even watch the news because I worry that whatever scary thing I see on TV is going to happen to me. It's like it gets glued to my brain and I worry about it for days. I hate worrying this much. I never feel like I can relax and just, I don't know, enjoy things. It sucks. My mom took me to see a psychologist. He says I have generalized anxiety disorder and he's trying to help me stop worrying so much.
But it's probably Americans, you know? It's none of us. Like, I'm quite sure you all look so smart and together, but I'm going to pick on one of you to come and share if you've ever had... Brendan, won't you come and share? We chatted on Friday night when Brendan saw that poster that what we're dealing with, and we chatted in the car park, and it was like, dude, you got to share that. And he was actually coming to me to say, do you mind if I share? So what a privilege. Thank you, Brendan.
Okay, yeah, I'm here to share my story about anxiety. And I used to be close with God, like in primary school and stuff. I used to pray to him every night. And then I got to high school, and I ended up with the wrong crowd of people. I don't know how. Managed to get, like, the worst people from every school as a friend. And then my attitude changed. I stopped praying to God. I was just like, yeah, whatever, you know. And then I just got worse from there on. I started to get angry and stuff, and I started to almost fail school and then blame God for my problems. So from there on, I started to take it out on my mom a lot, you know. I used to swear at her, like, bad. And I used to say, I hope you divorce my... you know, with my dad, so I can go live with my dad. And if I get married, I'm never inviting you. And it just got to a point where I just would deny that's my mother and just be like, yeah, she's, I don't know who she is. And then I just got more and more angry. And like when my family sits down at a meal, let's pray, I'll be like, oh, yeah, whatever. And then when I swear at my mom, she'll be like, you know, God's watching you. I'll be like, okay, really, is he? And then one day, on a Friday, I was all chilled and whatnot, and I sat down and I got this sudden fear in me. I don't know why, but I was so chilled, but then all of a sudden I was fearing something. My heart rate went to 120, my pupils dilated like wide open, you'd shine a light in them and they'd stay like massive. And then I realized that I was having a panic attack, and I went straight to my mom. And I realized she was there when I was in trouble, you know. That was the first thing I noticed. And let me see now. Yeah. Never spoken to this many people before. Woo! Yeah, okay, yeah. So then she was there to help me. She took me through it. And my mom struggles with problems as well. So it's kind of genetic. But yeah, it's a feeling of depersonalization and derealization that I was told that I had. What it does to you is it physically makes your body go numb. You don't have any feeling. You start to feel like you're coming out of your body. And you don't know, like, what's happening. You start to freak out, you know. And the next day, I had no emotion, you know. I thought everything around me was a dream. The people around me were not real. I could, like, just shoot everybody and be like, okay, this is just a dream. I'm going to wake up sometime soon. And then I just got worse from there on. I went to school and I would freak out and then I'd have to go home. And then it was just going on like that through the week. And eventually I went to a doctor who gave me antidepressants for I don't know what. Probably he said it helps with anxiety, but it gets worse before it gets better. So third day into it, and I was just feeling terrible, like seriously down. I thought, you know what, if I kill myself, maybe I'll wake up, you know. Maybe I'll just finally like wake up from this horrible dream and whatnot. And I mean, I couldn't believe it had struck me because I was not anxious about anything. I'll go to gym, I'll be like, yeah, okay, whatever. I was the class clown. I was give people attitude. I'd be like, yeah, I'm not scared of you, what? And then it just hit me like that, and I was like, geez, like, okay. And it made me look back on my life and how bad I was. And after I started taking those tablets, yeah, as I was saying, third day into it, I was feeling like, seriously, I had this pain here. And I felt like I was getting destroyed inside. I started worrying I was going to go schizophrenic. I had a brain tumor. I was just going to go mental and just go crazy eventually and be put in a mental place. I'll be a vegetable or something. But yeah, I was feeling really down. And then David, with his mom and that, we organized a braai and stuff. And he came there. And he could see I wasn't myself. I went outside and I sat down and I was just like, I'm spending my night here, you know. I'm not interested in people. I'm suffering here. I've got pain. And him and his mom came and said, you know, what's wrong? What's going on? And I told them. And they said, have you ever heard of a gift of tongues? And they said they would take me through the process of it. And they were praying for me in tongues, you know. And they were taking me through it. And they said I must open up my heart to God and ask for forgiveness for what I've done. So I did that closed my eyes and I said, please God, forgive me for doing this to my mother. I mean, I've literally made her cry. I've broken her down that bad. And back then I was like, yes, you see, good, you must suffer, you know. And I've broken her down that bad. And I was just like, please, just forgive me for this. And then this feeling of warmth struck me and this feeling of comfort. And I felt like I was being lifted. And I started talking in this weird language. But my mind was blank, absolutely blank. I couldn't think of anything, but I was just talking. I wasn't controlling the talk, I was just talking, you know. That pain, I've never felt again. That was the most I've ever eaten that night because I lost my diet. I was starting to, get really bad with that. And before that, I was scared to pray to God, you know. Before that, I thought, you know, I've asked God to forgive me a few times before. I said, please help me, I'm really struggling now, and nothing would happen. And then I'll be like, you see, again. Then I'll do it again, and I'll be like, oh, okay, you see, now I'm not going to pray to you anymore. From there on, I got a verse, Jordan, can you bring me my iPad? Before David came, my dad said I must just go to my Bible and look up on anxiety. And the first thing I found, just turned like two pages and I found it, okay. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in your faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Yeah, that hit me like a ton of bricks when I first read it. And from that experience with David and that, from there on, I've just been getting better. I've been praying to God in the night, pray to him in the morning. Whenever I feel like seriously, seriously bad, I pray to him and I'm fine after that, you know. Because I know I'm not alone in this, and I know that I'm not the only one going through this. And I know it's hard to explain the feeling of it, but it's really, I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy. It's really, it's just a bad feeling. But yeah, I'm getting through it. And yeah, it's just so far, so good.
Thank you, God. Awesome. Let's close in prayer and go home. I mean, it's real, hey? I mean, it's not some like, it's not Hollywood up here. You know, it's real. You know, it's Hollywood just filming what's real, about life. And did you pick up in what Brendan was sharing, that it's excessive fear? It's about maybe real circumstances or imagined. Maybe in your mind you think something's going to happen, or maybe it's real. This stuff's happening, you know? Maybe this is going to happen to me. It's when we're anxious, when we worry about situations with uncertain outcomes and we can't act to solve the problem. There seemed like you were powerless, Brendan, to do anything about it, you know? It's like, I know that this is a bad situation and I'm worried about it, but... And here's kind of like a process of how it, like, unrolls. It's, I think something bad is going to happen. I begin to worry about the situation. It kicks in this, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to solve the problem. I'm going to worry about it. And we think worrying is going to make it right. Does it make it right? Well, we'll see just now whether what worrying actually does. And so how do you know if you're dealing with anxiety? You worry quickly and often. It's not wrong to ever worry. You know, if you have a moment like, ooh, have I done my homework? That's a good worry. That's going to save you from getting detention or expelled, you know? But when you're just neurotically worrying and quickly, when you feel overwhelmed that you can't cope, when you panic about stuff around you, and you heard of an extreme situation of a panic attack, not mass. If you're not finding a paper bag somewhere to breathe into, you can actually asphyxiate, you know? It's like hectic. You think worst case scenario all the time. You're probably not going to get hung in the village square if you get a C- when your parents read your exam results. Now, you might. I don't know where you're living, you know? Maybe at Parktown Boys. Then that is a real scary thought, maybe, you know? But it's probably worst-case thinking. It's not going to happen. I mean, Ben's still alive, and he's at Parktown Boys. I'm sure you've got a C- on some exam somewhere. No, maybe not. Bad example. He's such a bright guy. And then you know that you're dealing with deep anxiety when you feel like isolating yourself is the best thing to do. Brendan, you said you went outside. I don't want to deal with anyone. You know, when you withdraw from your friends who probably are the ones who can help. And thank the Lord that David was there on that day and his mom. Like, what an incredible thing how God knows and brings something to us. Turn to the person next to you and ask them, like, what, give me something that you're anxious about at the moment, because we must deal with this today as we workshop this together. Okay. I don't ever remember so much sharing with any question we've ever asked each other at youth. Honestly. I mean, it's like, obviously, some of you have had anxiety, and there's something that you're anxious about. We don't want to be simplistic this morning. You know, this whole area, it's like right on the side. There's just, well, maybe I just worry once or twice. Maybe I seriously worry. Maybe I actually have this, like, anxiety with panic attacks. Maybe I have a generalized anxiety disorder. Maybe it's going to lead to depression and suicide. And we're actually dealing with, in our next two sessions, with Vicky next week on depression, and after the break after that one spring Sunday we're having, suicide itself. So it's a hectic, long system and process this, but I want to tackle right on the left why the Bible says that worrying isn't good for us, okay? Four good reasons. Firstly, it actually doesn't help. The Bible says, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Can it really change? You know, the Bible goes hard after this idea that I'm just going to worry about stuff. Someone said worrying is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. Woo, look at me. I'm going down the highway. I'm a rocking chair. It's like, dude, you're not doing nothing. You're just rocking. Like, yeah, you might feel cool. It doesn't actually help. It harms you, in fact. Okay? Worry weighs a person down. It brings a weight. Have you ever felt like, the weight of my worries? It's just like hectic. And thanks to the Lego guy, worry is the dark room in which negatives are developed. It's the dark room in which negatives are developed. And you know what negative thinking does to you? It's like this spiral down. It takes me down. You know, thanks to Ratatouille, we know that worry is today's mice nibbling on tomorrow's cheese. You're going to kill my future. Your future was being killed, Brendan. It was like wanting to wipe you out, take you down, man down. Thirdly, it doubts God ultimately. This gets a bit hectic, but it says, if God cares for the wildflowers, he will certainly care for you. When I worry, I'm saying, God, you don't care. And you did that, didn't you? Like, where are you? I'm speaking to you. And God doesn't boom out every time I speak to him. But I guess it's that lack of doubt. You can worry or you can trust God. You can't do both. Ooh, I don't like that. I wish I'd delete, backspace, rewind. You can either worry or you can trust God. Finally, worry looks down. Now, what do I mean by that? It's don't worry about what you eat, drink, or wear, these things here. Your heavenly Father knows all your needs. Seek first the kingdom of God, and he will give you everything you need. I need to actually get a bit of a stiff neck in life because I'm looking up. Looking down all the time it's like in and me and down, and woe is me and this situation. But lifting up, you know? Worry is the devil's weapon to get us to take our eyes off God. Hey, look, don't look at God. Look away. God's not interested. Remember last week or the week before, Sean unpacked that Genesis 3 passage, how the devil is so subtle. He's just like, did God really say? And the devil says, God doesn't really care. Look at your stuff. Look what's happening. Look what's happening around you. It's just hectic. How do we fight it? I think we've seen this morning that it's real. We've seen some way ahead already. But I want to take you to just one passage of Scripture and show you that in these few verses, Philippians 4, and I believe it's actually 5 to 7, not 6, as I've said there. And that first bit is in verse 5. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned, received, or heard from me, or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I want to show you that there's a process here through that passage, and you'll be able to flip back to it, so it's Philippians chapter 4. It begins with, the Lord is near, do not be anxious about anything. If I can remember that God is with me, that God's presence is with me, that's going to have a huge impact on how I think, will it not? And what happens in that moment when I get the bad news, when I think that I'm going to fail that exam, when I feel that nobody loves me, when I'm angry with someone, at that moment, the last thought is like, hey, God is here. And I've made it my plan to seek God, to go God's way, to experience God's presence. But I forget all that. And what I do is I begin to just use my own resources, my own thinking, and I don't stop at that moment to say, God, I'm going to seek you first. I'm going to remember that you are near. I mean, imagine if you were just about to do a crime and a cop blue light goes, woo, 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 and he pulls out there. He's like, hey, what you doing, young man? No, just walking past the store. And the brick? Oh, no, that's just to, like, shine my shoes. I put, like, a cloth over the brick. He's like, true. Okay, great. Go your way. And you're like, bye, Mr. Policeman. See you later. You won't commit the crime when he's there, will you? Unless you got a shield, maybe, and a bazooka. If I can remember God's presence, and the devil's like, ah, don't think about God now. And we can be so overwhelmed, I think that we can almost not think about God. It's like that moment of anger we spoke about. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything. Secondly, it says, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And so secondly, I need to request God's help. I need to take my situation and lay it before God and say, God, have you seen what's going on down here? You know, God, come take a look. Do you know the situation, Lord? This friend of mine, she's in hospital. This buddy of mine, he's going through this. Or I've got all this stuff on my plate, you know? I mean, I had the week of all weeks this week. I almost want to say it's like the mother of all weeks. You know, Sunday's coming and Friday night's coming. We've got to do all this preparation. And then there's a jolly memorial service at Greenside High on Wednesday morning. And I'm preparing until like late at night trying to do that. No one likes speaking of memorials. Do you like doing that? Young Sifiso from Greenside, who passed on through cancer. I'm like, Lord, not this week. I've got so much to do. And then Debbie's brother flies in from London and the whole family. We spend like 2 days with them. And like just one thing after another, car problems, clutch blows up or whatever was happening with my car. It's like, Lord, I'm not handling all this stuff right now. You know, where are you? Can you just like take some of this load? Just doing that, speaking to God, is part of the process of actually making it through. So on Sunday morning, you're not scrambling at 5 a.m. for something to share, when this is probably one of the most important things that I do. Do you request God's help? Remember God's presence. Request God's help. Number three, and the peace of God which transcends, or it's beyond understanding. You can't understand his peace in your heart. You can't understand, Brendan, what actually came over you in that moment of speaking to God and speaking out in tongues. It will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It would come and guard your heart and mind. It will calm you down, center you. Give you that ability. Yeah, the storm is still raging outside, but you know what? I am receiving God's peace in the midst of turmoil. And the God of peace will be with you, it says. But it goes further, because that's not the whole process. Because if I still choose to think the same thought, I'm going to find myself getting close to a place where I can come right. And then I'm going to go back into old habits. It's kind of like someone says, I'm not going to smoke another cigarette. I'm tired of doing grass. It's making me stupid. And I'm a new guy. So Tuesday, I'm like, a friend says, do you want another joint? I'm like, yeah, just one puff. Okay, I don't want to steal the abuse, drug abuse week. But it's no good. Before that day is out, before that week is out, I will be back again with the stuff that I was doing before, right? If I could begin to think different, think about whatever's true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy. Those are godly thoughts. In that moment where I want to think worst case scenario, I want to think, I'm never going to have a sermon for Sunday. This is going to be a disaster. Everyone's going to look at me as if like, don't you work? You know? I mean, I'm a superhero. I'm having anxiety. Super pastor, youth pastor. Think godly thoughts. How's my thinking? I need to take authority. I need to say, I'm not going to think that. That's negative. I'm not going to think that. I'm going to think positive. And suddenly, like my shoulders lift up a bit and my neck goes a bit straight. I'm like, hey, I can do this. And that can-do attitude works, not just for Barack Obama. Put into practice, step five, whatever you have learned from me, and the God of peace shall be with you. That's pretty dramatic. You know, it's about taking godly action. So Paul is saying, so whatever you've seen in me, you need to do that. If you've seen someone else coping in a positive way, and you need to learn from their experience. That's why it's so important to have someone like Brendan this morning sharing, because, you know, I'm an old timer, but he's not. You know, he's got young timers. I've got Alzheimer's, you know?
And you can say, like, the next time that goes, hey, what happened on that side? Oh, yeah, he spoke about that and that. Where's David's mom? Speed dial. David, give us your mom's number. Okay? It's about finding help, taking action, taking the next step. It's not just saying, oh, it's me. What can I do? And it might be, like it was for me, to work late a few nights, you know, nearly through the week. It might mean to reschedule one appointment that I had. On the day that people were shot and someone was injured at Cresta, I rescheduled the meeting with a dude that I was supposed to meet with at Cresta. And maybe that was God's plan, because I would have tried to bring the guys down, because we're watching all the superhero stuff. I would have opened my shirt and ta-da-da-da, I would get my bag, throw it at him like my shield. It's like, no, man, dude, you're just going to die. Dead. Don't do that. Take godly action, wise action. When we were talking before this morning, Debbie suggested that there are times still that we need further help, like you had and went for, you know? It's not God or nothing. God works through David's mom. God works through a counselor, you know? I mean, maybe you need to get Emma's number on speed dial because her dad is absolutely amazing as a psychologist. And say, I need serious help. And we get help until we helped. Not just like 5 minutes. So seek godly counsel is an incredibly important thing. If you're really not coping, because you're heading, even Oscar Pistorius went off for checking out if he had generalized anxiety disorder. Sadly for him, he doesn't. Kind of, maybe. It's not a sin. Some people might think that, that's a sin. You know? No. I mean, is your dad a Christian? Mr. Belsham, is he a Christian? Were you? There you are. Sorry, I'm looking at the wrong person. No wonder. It's like God has given gifts like that. So don't feel like, I can't go to the school counselor. Plus, everyone will know. Go to another school's counselor then if you don't want your buddies to know. You know? Rather let people know. I encourage you, your boldness, to come and share with us. I thought that was profound. So how do we fight anxiety? Remember, God is with you. Request his help. Ask for his help. It's funny that sometimes that's the last thing we actually do. I don't actually go to God and say, God, can you help? Receive his peace. Think godly thoughts. Take godly action. And then seek godly counsel. I want to hand out one of these quickly, if some folk can help me. There's a way of thinking through a specific issue that we're dealing with, and I want you to actually work with it a bit. We've got like about 10 minutes, which is awesome, so if you can grab a piece of paper and pen, maybe it would be the issue that came up earlier when you spoke with each other, okay? And you're going to have a chance to actually take an issue, write it down, and then we're going to work with it a little bit, okay? And you could find this to be part of the solution of finding action. So what do I do? What is the next step with this thing that doesn't seem to be going away? Okay, so you'll see as you get it, the first item. So the first thing that you need to do is I want you to write down that thing that you're anxious about. Could be personal, it could be something in your world, it could be something that someone around you has, whatever it is that's causing you to like want to freak out, to like melt down, or to just be feeling overwhelmed. It might be hard to pick one thing, but if you can, just to work with. Okay, so when you feel anxious, take a few minutes to write down exactly what you're anxious about. So there's not a lot of space there, and some of this you might have to flip over. It's more of a resource for you to hang on to, I guess. Now, the second part, once you've captured your anxiety, is to clarify your anxiety. Begin to clarify the anxious thoughts by asking questions like, one, what bad thing do I think is going to happen? So either just write it there or over the page or something. What's the really worst thing, the worst case scenario? So if I don't hand that exam in tomorrow, worst case, public flogging, if you go to that Parktown Boys School.
Okay, everyone got that? What's the worst case thing? Then what are the odds that this negative consequence will occur? Now, take one step back, don't fall over your chair, and think, the odds, like percentage, is this 60%? Is this 90%? 100%? I thought it was 65, but now I'm starting to think maybe it's 44%. Now I think about it, maybe it's actually 30%. In the end, I think it's 29.45%. Maybe it's not 100% sure. What is this emotion I'm feeling right now is the next thing that you write down. What am I feeling, okay? What emotion about this situation? And maybe that percentage is 90%, so the emotion is like, I am freaking out. Is freaking out an emotion? Yes, it is. I am tense. I am whatever. Now you want to start by saying, hold on, I want to challenge my anxiety, the way I'm thinking about it. I'm going to ask a question like, what evidence do I have to support my worry? Is there hardcore evidence? Do I think maybe that I've got a tumor? Where's the scan? Where's, you know, what's the evidence now that this is going to happen? Secondly, is there any evidence that would argue against my worry? Let's say you're like the guy on the other shoulder looking over like, hey, Mark, hey, do you have a minute? Like, yeah, sure, I've been chatting with this guy the whole time. I just like wanted to like really ask whether maybe you will find time in the week to get everything done that needs to be done this week. You know, because maybe you will have that extra time on Friday afternoon or something. Like, oh, dude, thanks for that. I thought my week was finished. Cool. Is there evidence that would argue against my worry? How likely is it that what I'm fearful of will actually happen? So what percentage is there that this thing I'm feeling will happen? What percentage is there that it's actually going to happen? It's kind of similar to the previous question, but it asks it slightly different. And now two contrasting questions. What's the worst thing that could happen, worst case scenario? And what's the best thing that could happen in this situation? And I'm starting to hear a Monty Python song. Always look on the bright side of life. Doo-doo. There we go. So we look at the dark side and we look at the light side. And then a great separating question, what will probably happen? Think about it. Maybe you've been here before. Maybe you had an assignment, a test or something before, and you actually got 90% and you felt the same, okay? What's probably going to happen? And now punch yourself in the face with this question. Is worrying about it helping at all? Stop and think. When I was worrying this week about Friday night stuff that we had to get done on Sunday, do you think my worrying was helping me get more prepared? Does worry create presentations? Can you download a presentation from the worry cortex? I don't know, maybe you can, but I haven't been able to yet. I need to learn that. If my worst case scenario happened, how would I cope? It makes me challenge these vague feelings and these thoughts with some reality. Maybe if that did happen, then finally, is there another way I can look at the situation? Could I pull back, look at it differently, and say, you know what? There's another way to think about this. Maybe God is allowing me to go through this because he wants me to feel some anxiety because I'm speaking about anxiety. Oh, well, I didn't think of it like that. Thank you, God, for the anxious stuff that's happened this week. It's like, whew, that's cool. Now at least I've got something to share about on Sunday. And then finally, correct the situation. Write out a new way of thinking about the situation. Create some action steps to take. So how do I view the situation now? Hey, you know what? I'm feeling a lot more positive. It's not just power of positive thinking. I've actually done a process where I've rethunked the thinking. And then what steps will I take to resolve it? And this might take courage. It might say, you know what, I actually want to go out with my friends tonight, but tonight I'm not going to. And I'm going to say, I'm sorry, guys, I'll have to put that off. I heard you sharing the Sean sometime just recently. You might actually have to say, no, I can't. I can't do this. I think you shared it on Thursday at Champs. It's like, it might cost me, but I'm going to do something different. And maybe you need to keep that piece of paper with you so whenever you feel a friend is going through a thing, you can say to her, like, hold on, let me take my paper out of my back pocket. Let's think about this thing that you're anxious about, okay? And work through that process. I want to share one thing in closing, that there's an interesting shift from the peace of God which transcends all understandings will guard your hearts and your minds. And at the end, do you notice the subtle change? And the God of peace will be with you. So receiving that peace of God, a mindset, a frame of reference to that God of peace being with us in a more dramatic, obvious, clear way. May the God of peace be with you. I hope you realize this morning that we've tapped into some biblical ways of dealing with our stuff, some psychological way of dealing with stuff, because it's not either or. Some people are too simplistic, okay? But bring God into this. Bring some good thinking into this, and God of peace will be with you. I trust this will both help me, you maybe, and maybe some of your friends, and it will give you some way of talking about anxiety. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you that you do care. You care about the lilies. You care about the birds. You clothe them. You feed them. You do all that stuff, Lord. Sometimes we feel that you're not there, And Lord, it's because you don't always boom out large and loud from heaven. And Lord, help us to look for you. Help us to see your signs. To know that, Lord, when there's only one set of footprints in the sand, you hadn't left us and we're walking alone, but you're carrying us through that time. Help us to feel your embrace, to know your presence with us, to feel your peace filling our minds as we ask you for help. Help us, Lord, to take action where necessary, to think about our thinking, to stand back and say, I'm going to challenge that. And Lord, would you draw especially near to us in this coming week that we would deal and cope better with the stuff that comes our way, because you said, don't be afraid. In this world, you will have trouble, but fear not, for I have overcome the world. Help us when the trouble comes to not be overcome, but to overcome the world. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Make sure you hear next week when Vicky and a friend from Parktown Girls are going to be preaching on fighting depression. It's not to be missed. Money back guarantee. God bless you.